So let's start off by telling you, we're going to flash back into the Old Testament here for just a quick second. So 40 days and 40 nights on Noah's Ark had been completed. The waters had receded, and Noah opens up the ark and he says to all of the animals, "Go forth and multiply," and all of the animals leave the ark. Except Noah walked back in and he found that there were two snakes there. And he said, "Why have you not gone forth to multiply?" And the two snakes said, "Because we're adders." Because we're adders. Okay. The story that we have, that was funny. So the story that we have in our gospel lesson today is sometimes referred to as the miracle of the multiplication. Okay? That's how you got the joke this morning, okay? We sometimes hear it as the feeding of the 5,000 or the feeding of the multitude. And it's really a fascinating story. At first glance, it seems like some sort of like party trick in a way, right? Nobody was healed. Nobody rose from the dead. I mean, it was just, boom, there's food. Now, granted, I appreciate that very much, okay? But really, what's going on here? And I don't know that I have all the answers to what is exactly going on here, because there is so much that is actually involved in this story. We think of it as just sort of a simple story about this happening, but in reality, every single thing seems to be dripping with something related to something else. It's interesting to note that this story almost has to have some sort of greater symbolic meaning than Jesus just feeding a bunch of people. And I've heard a lot of sermons on this about, oh, you know, our concerns for scarcity and the abundance of God's kingdom, and all those sermons are completely valid. But I do believe that there is something deeper that is meant to be conveyed by this story. It is the only miracle story that is recorded in all four Gospels. Okay? John glosses over virtually everything else that is in any of the other Gospels. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, go through all kinds. Okay? But we only hear this one miracle story in all four Gospels. Why? Why is it that we hear it in all four Gospels? It has to be something important. So let's just take a minute and let's kind of recap what's happened. Jesus goes up to this mountain, okay? And Jesus does that a lot, but he seems to go to this very specific place, and all of these people are following him. Now, he goes up there and he sits down. Now, in the tradition of the day, when lessons were taught, the teacher sat down. That's why in synagogues and the like at the time, there was a seat that you sat on in order to teach. Jesus sat down on this particular mountaintop, and if you go to where this is supposed to have happened, it's sort of like a natural amphitheater. The mountain goes down and kind of flares out, and so Jesus would have been setting up towards the top and using the natural acoustics of the place in order to teach to all of these people that are showing up. And all of these people are standing, which is the tradition of students. We know this because Jesus says you have to make them sit down. So this was entirely an educational event. Now, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, whenever all of this transpires, one of the disciples comes up to Jesus and says, "Okay, lesson's over. We need to send all these people home because they're about to get hungry and we don't have any food and we don't want a mess or a riot on our hands," right? And in this one, though, nobody comes up to Jesus, right? Nobody comes up to Jesus and says, "We got to get rid of all these people right before they get hungry." Jesus is the one who brings up feeding them. And there's this kind of balk of like, how are we going to do that? And then we hear we have five barley loaves and two fish. Well, what's fascinating is the symbolism that's already gone on in here, right? Jesus on the mountaintop, much like Moses, much like Elijah. And now he's got five barley loaves, which is placed in front of him. Barley loaves, of course, if you'll look back into our Old Testament lesson today, Elisha is actually multiplying, making more to feed the people that are there. The people who are watching this, hearing this, are going to notice these similarities. They're going to look at this and go, wait, I've heard this story someplace else before, from the prophets. And Jesus is able to feed all of these people. Now, I've heard 1,000 different explanations. The most common one is, oh, this little boy brought up the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and everybody else were like, well, if he can donate those, I can donate what I've brought, and everybody shared and everything was good. I don't think that's the point of the story. It's a nice anecdote. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But I don't think that's the point of the story. The point of the story is that everyone was fed. Everyone who was there that day and heard Jesus preach was fed spiritually. Everyone who was there that day was fed physically. Everyone there that day had their needs met. Everyone who was there experienced the fullness of what God has to offer for us. And the people recognized this. The people had seen him. He said, just like the prophet up on the mountaintop, just like Moses, just like Elijah, just like Elisha, just as though we had been hearing through all of the readings that we've had about who would come before the Messiah. John the Baptist has just been killed. John the Baptist, who was questioned if he wasn't Elijah, the forerunner, the one who would come before the Messiah. And the people recognize this. They see what Jesus is and could be for them. And they want to make him king. And Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, decides that's a horrible idea. That's not what he's there to accomplish. Then we have this random story that seems just sort of plugged onto the end. And I spent all week trying to rack my brain. Why do we include this in this week's lectionary? Why are we talking about walking on water? I mean, that's a whole other sermon that you could give, right? As I've said before, Episcopalians have no problem believing that anyone walked on water. We just tend to believe it was in January when it happened, you know. We try to explain it away. Why do we have this story that's tacked on here at this time? Well, in the Gospel of John, Jesus actually performs nothing that is described as a miracle. Nothing is a miracle. Everything is described as a sign. A sign. Something that points you to the way, right? A sign is not where you're trying to get to, right? Unless you want a picture in front of that Welcome to Las Vegas sign or something like that. A sign is what is directing you towards where you want to go. And all of these events that John talks about, they're signs. They're things that point us towards something deeper, bigger, towards where we want to go. And I think that the intention, and I could be entirely wrong, the intention of including this story of Jesus walking on water as a sign is to sum up what has just happened with the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus fed all of those people spiritually and physically. And he didn't just do it because he was some great preacher or some great social worker. Jesus did it because he has command over the universe. Can you walk on water? I can't. Can you calm the storms? I can't. Jesus can, though. Jesus is more than just a social worker. Jesus is a wonder worker. Jesus is the one who is able to feed us, to calm the storms in our life, and to walk us through the great depths of the things that we never thought that we could get through. This gospel lesson is, like I said, unique. There's so much symbolism. And if you start running down the rabbit holes of why were there 12 baskets left, why is it that as soon as Jesus got on the boat, it was suddenly where they were going? I mean, you can start going down all kinds of rabbit holes. But the reality is, this story is incredibly important because it teaches us something about who God is. the ruler of the universe, yes. But someone who cares for us. Spiritually, emotionally, physically. Someone who is concerned for us. And in whom we can find that everything that we want or desire. That's amazing. That someone is out there who loves us, who cares for us. Someone who has the vast capability of controlling all of physical matter. Loves you. Cares for you. I think that's why it was in all four Gospels. I think that's why the story is meant to be told. I think that's the lesson that we all can take away. That God loves us, can provide for us, and sustain us. My brothers and sisters, as we go throughout this coming week and the days and months ahead, I hope that you very much always remember how much God loves you. And how God can sustain you, no matter where you are or what condition you find yourself in. God already knows your need and is there to help provide for it. Amen.